Let us pray. We cry to you, O God. Night and day we cry to you. In our pain we cry for comfort. In our joy we cry out in thanksgiving. Hear us, O God, and in your justice and love answer. Guide us and inspire us this day that we might reflect the abundant love that you offer to all of creation. Amen. You know what I have very little patience for? Telemarketers. I was one for a summer during my undergrads, and I knew people didn't like me very much. It's not really the people that I don't like, it's the nature of the work. It's the constant calling at inopportune times, like supper, or when I'm just stepping out in the morning, or when I'm just leaving for lunch. I don't even hear what's being sold or surveyed, and right off the bat I'm like, I'm sorry, but I don't have time for this, not today. And they say, okay, we'll call back. And being the polite person that I try to live into, I don't argue the point, and 1 to 4 days later they call. Usually it's 1 day later. Now, I said that they're calling at inopportune times, but truth be told, in general, most people will be home to answer the phone right around supper time. So what better time to call to be assured to get somebody to pick up that phone? And of course, when I say telemarketers, I mean those legitimate surveys or people that are trying to upsell you on stuff. I don't mean people that are trying to scam you out of your money. That's definitely not okay. Now, despite my struggle, despite my maybe being annoyed from time to time, every now and again I feel bad. Every now and again I feel bad because I know it's a person on the other line, and most of the time it's the same person. I just ask them to keep calling and calling and calling. Sometimes I tell them I'm busy when I'm not. Sometimes I say I'm not there. Isn't that terrible? So every now and again, when I'm weighed low by the guilt or just annoyed, I'll answer the survey or I'll listen to the sales pitch. This may or may not be a familiar tale for you. Maybe you're more gracious than I and you hear them out every time. Or maybe you're more annoyed than I am and you have gone through phones so fast because the wall is not a soft thing to throw at. But it's a story that makes sense the most. And it's also kind of familiar because we just heard that story, at least in a form. Our gospel reading today might not have a persistent telemarketer and a busy phone owner, but it does have a persistent widow and what history has come to call an unjust judge. And the story sails on similar winds. The widow, seeking justice, cries to the judge, "Justice! Justice!" And time and again, the just judge responds, "Not today. Not today." At least he does for a while. Eventually, he relents. But he doesn't do it out of guilt. Because, as the scripture says, he fears neither God nor any, and he has no respect for people. No, he eventually gives in to the widow and gives her her justice because he's annoyed, because he's worn out by her bothering him all the time. He just wants her to go away. And so he says, here's your justice. Leave me alone. So this is a parable of Christ. What are we supposed to learn here? Well, the good news is the unjust judge isn't meant to be God. Rather, this unjust judge is meant to embody the exact thing that God is not: indifferent. Christ says in the explaining of the story, he says, "See, even this uncaring, indifferent jerk will give justice eventually. How much more justice and love will come from a God who loves eternally?" So, instead of opening, like most parables, with the kingdom of God is like this. He might have said, the kingdom of God is exactly the opposite of this. So this all makes perfect sense. And Jesus even explains it that way. But this past week, actually, for the last few weeks, as I've had nothing better to do but lie in bed and prepare, I've been sitting with this passage, and it kept pulling me back, especially because of the Jeremiah reading that Natalie read. It's that widow. And it's the way Jesus describes that judge. And it's the part of Jeremiah that reads, no longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. Our Bible, our Holy Scriptures, is a living word. It changes and it grows as we live into each moment. And in this moment, I'm not the widow crying for justice. I'm the judge, indifferent to the plight and the pain of those around me. In this moment, God is the widow, calling to us, daily seeking justice, to live into the way of life, light, and love, crying to us to see the writing on our hearts. And we feel it. In those moments of conscience, big and small, moments that define significantly our path forward, we feel it. The eyes of God on us. And when we feel that gaze heavy on our back, when we struggle between what might be right and what might be wrong, we often interpret that look as judging. And you know what? How dare God judge me? In that moment, we often judge this judging God and choose to go our own way, despite the whispers of that still, small, but persistent voice of the Holy Spirit, despite the cries of the widow. But like the widow with the judge, like God with the people of Israel and Judah, God pleads with us. Pleads with us, not judge us. Pleads with us, calls us back, not for reprisal, but for renewal. And the more I thought about it, the more it dawned on me, how could God not be the widow? Looking at the world around me, at the indifference that the comfortable few often have for the plagued many, at the brokenness, at the injustice, I can't help but see this parable turned on its head. Of course, God is the widow, crying out to a world that needs healing, that needs care, that needs love. What of us? The judges. The indifferent. How are we to respond to these cries? If the parable of Christ has the right of it, what good we do manage to do isn't for good itself, but to get God off our back. Is that us? Is that who we are? Who we've become? Who we've always been? We do our own thing until we are annoyed enough to do what God is calling us to do. I don't think so. At least, I hope not. And the Jeremiah reading gives me hope in this. Here we have a people in distress, a people broken, a people lost, a people who have been going their own way for a long time and have gotten themselves into a tight spot. Even here, when the chosen people of God have strayed from the path of God and even have striven to move from God's sight, even here, God cries out. Seeking renewal, seeking reunion. Here, in this place, farthest from the path, farthest from the light, God promises a new covenant. One that will not be written on stone tablets, but rather one that will be written upon the very hearts of God's people. in the days to come. And surely they will come, says the prophet. There will be no need for the widow to chase the judge. There will be no need for the still small voice of the Holy Spirit whispering in our ears. Because in those days, we will fully know the will and the way of our Creator. Just as God knows us intimately, inwardly, and outwardly, so will we know our God. Not just as partners in creation, but as lovers who yearn for each other's embrace. Yes, those days are surely coming, says Jeremiah. But they aren't here yet. And so, God continues to call us, calling us to bring healing, to bring hope to a world in need of both, to build the kingdom of peace. And every time that we allow ourselves to be moved by the Spirit to serve one another, to bring justice where there is none, to bring light where there is darkness, God writes a little more on our hearts. Because in the end, we aren't the unjust judge. We are the hands and feet of the body of Christ. Let's answer the call. Let's get to work. Amen.